Good morning. Act like you haven't seen me. It'll work out for the best. Good morning. Good morning again. You know, first thing I want to start out is about a round of applause before you start here for the Johnson family and all our people that help up there. I know the Webbers are up there right now, but this group of folks have been carrying us for the last many months here, handling our music. A lot of folks don't see that they're up here through the week, a couple nights a week. And by the way, Jake has just went through finals at Rolla, going to be an engineer, going to graduate this year, carrying that load, helping his church. So I know a lot of people go, well, they should be, and that's what they do. But no, they're stepping up, and they've been helping us. So I'm very thankful for this and that family that's on the soundboard, because it means a lot. If not, it means you hear somebody down here screaming. So thank you guys for what you do, you know, and I know they do not want that. They don't like it, but you know, appreciation goes a long way. I want somebody to always know we appreciate them here, okay? Save to sin no more. I love that song that goes a long way with me. It means a whole lot. So the days after Christmas involve us taking down our tree. The lights can mean some days off from work. Okay, you can even try to figure out how we're going to pay for Christmas. But older I get, I've learned to get past those things. I expect to take the tree and the lights down. I don't leave them up till spring anymore. So, but I realize how fast, as I get older, how fast time comes and how fast it goes. So you learn to appreciate the time that you have here. Like I said, I can get a lot of trees and lights and presents, and I've got enough vacation after, you know, 20 years at a company, I can take some time off. And I finally figured out how to manage my money, so I'm paying for Christmas pretty good. But, you know, I can't get back that time that I waste. I can't get back those opportunities that I have to spend with families as Christians. And it hits you. If it doesn't, one day it will. And hopefully it'll be sooner than later, okay? It probably also means New Year's resolutions, making plans, future plans to diet. I put this suit on this morning, and that's going to be in one of my plans. So, get out of debt, possibly starting a new job, an adventure, okay? But I got a question for you. Is God in your future plans? I myself, I have to confess that God is not always in my future plans, okay? He's not. I like Peter in Matthew 14, verses 22 33. I bail out of the boat, I walk on water per se towards Jesus, and I sink. I like Peter, I promise to never forsake Jesus. Then I hear the rooster crow. I read in Matthew 14, 27, where Jesus says, Peter, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Then I go to verse 29, like Peter, I start to sink in life, and I have to cry out to Jesus. Then I go to verse 31, where he had to reach out and save Peter, and feel like he has to save me too many times in life. Then I go on here, and I read 31, where he says, you of little faith, why do you doubt? You of little faith, why do you doubt? You know, it's moments like this I get discouraged. Okay, sometimes I don't even like myself. I get real discouraged, but here's the good news. The God that we serve loves us. He loves us on top of the mountain. He loves us at the bottom of the mountain. When I repent of my sins, amen, you're absolutely correct. Thank you, Brother Leonard. You know, when I repent of my sins and I have my moments where it's a lack of faith, he still loves me. He picks me up, and he's always there to pat me on the back and give me a fresh start. And outside these walls, we don't get that opportunity. A lot of times we don't get picked up, we get stepped on. We get run over. Today's sermon is going to focus on a new year and a fresh start. I'm going to be in Colossians 1, you that want to open your Bible, verses 13 through 18. And if you'll see that, that's Paul refers to, it's a gratitude for their faith right here. And it goes on to say, for he rescued them from the domain in darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in heaven and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones and dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will have the first place in everything. Okay, let's go to the Lord. Father God in heaven, I want to thank You again for this beautiful day that You give us, Father. Thank You that we have an opportunity to come into Your house and just to worship and just give glory and honor and praise You, Father. Again, Father, I just ask that You open our hearts, You open our minds to what we hear today. It's not about who we'd like to hear it or who we want to hear, but how are we hearing it? How do we hear Your word, Father? And then the next step is, how are we applying it when we go outside these doors? How are we applying it with Your gospel, Father? We ask these things in Your name. Amen. Like I said, right now, some folks I've talked to week have the Christmas blues. Christmas, unfortunately, has a way of draining us. Okay, it has a way. The parties, to the shopping, to all the community happenings, to the visits to and from family, the hustle and bustle of getting ready. I mean, we booked our Sunday school Christmas party the first weekend this year of December because we didn't get to have it the following year. And it was still hard. People's schedules were already booked in July for Christmas. So, I mean, people are absolutely busy here. Okay? The New Year, however, also has a way of energizing us. New hopes, new dreams, new plans, annual resolutions. Like I said, there's that diet word again. Exercise, get out of debt. Try some things new or just get better at some things we're doing right now. Okay? The great C.S. Lewis wrote, "The central Christian belief is that Christ's death has somehow put us right with God and given us a fresh start." So in all, Christians should ignite the soul with a passion for God. The new year invites us to think of new steps, new hopes and plans, including gaining a fresh start in Christ. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, speaks of the Son of His love, meaning that Christ in His love and power equips us with the Holy Spirit for freshness. Paul writes about the church and how it starts with God. He is the key in the ignition of the car to being the starting line in a foot race, the blank canvas for a painter. He is our serving point. Christ serves as a starting point for Christians and the Lord's church. Okay, new hopes for the year. I got 3 points here I want to hear to talk about. I want to talk about creation. Then I want to ask you about your life. Then I want to talk about our church. Okay, creation starts with God. Paul begins with a foundation theological belief. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creations. That's 1:17. Paul acknowledges God as a creator of all things. He's the maker of heaven. He's the maker of the earth. Okay, I want to ask you, ever watched the sunrise, sunset? It's beautiful colors. God created it. Watch a bird in flight. Lofty winds. God created that too. Watch a deer. For you hunters, watch a deer. God created it. You've been to the ocean. You've seen the beauty of dolphins. In and out of the water, their grace. Ever watch an ant prepare for winter? Stores food 5 times its size. God created that. Touch a baby's hands. I love babies. My little boys were, when they were babies, I could take their little feet when they're about that big and put your finger in the middle of it. And you know what happens? Them little toes curl around your finger. I love that. The smell of a baby after it's been cleaned. Johnson & Johnson nailed it when they did that baby powder. It's you know, you can't pull that off at 50, but when they're 5 months old, they smell good. They're the baby, okay? Hear a baby's cry. Young parents are like, oh. And I tell them, I say, don't stress. We older people love to hear a baby cry. I love to hear a baby cry. As an empty nester, you welcome the sound of a baby's cry. I love to hear it. I love to hear children having fun. It doesn't distract me. So I tell young parents, enjoy it. Enjoy that sound while you can. Because one day the house is quiet. And everything you thought it would be, it may not be. So enjoy the sound. Enjoy the commotion, okay? Enjoy your children while they're little, okay? God created each person and placed a value on them in the eye of His Son of the Love. Colossians 1, 13 through 17 possesses key thoughts of God's creative work in our lives. God delivered us out of darkness. He delivered us to His Son. He provided a way in Christ so that we could join God's kingdom. His kingdom is more than earthly realms and dominions and authoritative powers. That's things that have been passed around people. And it's not. His kingdom, okay, it's a kingdom of life. It's a kingdom of transformation, joy, forgiveness, God's ongoing creative work. He created us joyfully to serve Him, to live for Him, share Him with others. The new year calls us, okay, to realize creation starts with our Christ. Starts with Christ. It doesn't start with what I plan. It doesn't start with what I do. It starts with Christ. God desires and wants to give us a fresh start. Now let's talk about your life. It starts with God. Paul says two things. Every living thing starts with God, and all things cohere, consist, and hold together with Christ. What did Paul mean? Paul meant if you follow Jesus with all your heart, your life will find Christ at the center. Your life will find Christ at the center, okay? Dependence on Christ involves Him holding your life together and giving it purpose. And it's the truth. When we're truthful to ourselves, and we know some of us here today have tried it over the last year, we've tried it our way. And if we're truly honest with ourselves, we'd probably say it's not working out like we visioned. It's not working out like we thought it would. It's not working out like we pictured, you know? And I know sitting there, that's a hard thing to hear because I've been there. I've been there. And besides being there, I'm a man, okay? Sometimes I don't like to admit when, you know what? It's not working out like I thought. It's not working out like I planned. It's not working out like I thought I was controlling it to do. And I've just come to the point that God's ways are much better than my ways. His ways don't fail me. His ways don't leave me. They never forsake me. Okay? They don't beat me up. They love me. And that's the truth, dependence on Christ. Okay? Does your life as you face this new year have a purpose in God? Does it have a purpose in Christ, your plans? Four elements I want to give you of a life lived in God's purpose here. Peace. Paul mentions peace at the offset of 1:2. Okay, Colossians 1 verse 2, and in Romans 5:1 he tells us again that we have peace and access through Jesus Christ. His peace is more than two politicians sitting discussing a truce. It's more than an event protest. Okay, it's more than a symbol on a tie-dyed shirt. It's more than we can agree to disagree conversation, which tends to happen a lot here. It is a personal, life-changing peace that surpasses all understanding. Real peace starts with Christ. You're a child of God, you understand that peace. There are things that I don't worry about that I used to worry about. There are things that I stress that I don't stress about no more. Okay? I leave it to the Lord. God is going to provide for His children. Okay? He is going to provide for us. He told us He would. Did He say, I'm going to give you your wants? No. But He's going to provide me my needs as a believer. And He does. I stand here and tell you, He does. Okay, He absolutely 100% does. But that key part that I just read you, He has to be the center of my life. He has to be the center of our life. If He's not, it's not going to happen. Okay, it's absolutely not going to happen, I promise you. Deliverance. Paul mentions deliverance in Colossians 1:13. Okay, watch this story about two guys in a kayak here. And I don't think they were real bright. And they called it a rescue story. And I was kind of aggravated after I heard it. And talk about two guys, they had floody water, they get out in their kayaks and they go out, and they get tossed. They get tossed or hanging in trees, and the media says, man, what a wonderful rescue. That's miraculous. I thought, well, that's stupid. First off, they probably shouldn't have been out in flooded waters in a kayak unless you're an expert, you know, unless you were a real expert. And I figured, venture to say, an expert is probably going to be the one going to save somebody on there. But I started thinking about the rescue. Christ has rescued us from the cross, from the sin and darkness. Deliverance starts with Christ, those elements. Man, the old F word, forgiveness. Paul clearly praised God's creative work as a work of forgiveness of sins. Where would we be without the forgiveness of sins through Christ's shed blood? We'd be destined for Hades. There's no other option. Where would you be without Christ's forgiveness, the same motivating personal forgiveness in our relationships? Just think if we couldn't forgive others. When you're mad, you probably like that. But when you're in your right mind, brother, sister in Christ, forgiveness is a good thing to give people. It's even a better thing to receive. Okay? Because, you know, sometimes I need to be forgiven. And here's the truth. It was by accident. I wasn't purposely mean. I didn't say something purposely stupid. I didn't do something. Sometimes I honestly made a mistake, and I still need forgiveness. So when I'm able to ask and someone's able to give me, that's a blessing. That's a blessing for Christ. Okay? Unforgiveness does more damage where it's stored than where it's poured. You thought of that? Person, oh, I can never forgive them. I just can't get over it. I can't forgive them. Well, that's good for your relationship with Christ because you're going nowhere. Nowhere. Where you're at is where you're going to be. You're not moving forward. You sit in that pew all you want. You can open that Bible, but it's not sinking in. Forgiveness, unforgiveness is a dead block. Okay? You're dead. You're done. It is a stumbling block that we do not move past. And I know, I've sit there and go, I don't have to forgive them and I can still do life with them. No, you don't. I've sit there and God beats me up and he goes, you know you're not moving forward. You know you're not growing in his word. You know when you're over here trying to do this ministry, you need to be over here taking care of this and you're not doing it. So, hypocrite, while you're over here to spread my gospel, why don't you come over here and live my gospel? Been there, unfortunately, okay? Forgiveness heals and forgiveness starts with Christ. Reconciliation, my fourth point here. Paul mentions in Colossians 1, verses 20 and 21, the word reconciliation. Christ reconciles people to God and to each other. God makes things right, folks. He makes enemies friends. He takes that which is broken and puts it back together. Okay? He takes that which is severed and ties it back together by bonding it to him. Reconciliation starts with God. And I love reconciliation because as a young man, I was pretty stupid, full of anger, full of a lot of know-how, and things that I thought I knew. And then you get older, you come to Christ and you go, I was really dumb as a stick. Yeah, I was as dumb as a stick. Really, thought I knew everything. It's like, I didn't know anything. Didn't even grow in Christ to know. And you know, you look at reconciliation, you know, that is a good thing. To bring people together. As brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're going to spend eternity together in heaven, shouldn't we get along here on earth? Yeah. Because I'd surely hate to meet Christ and he go, before we move on, we're going to settle up, Gary. Reconciliation is a good thing on here. Good thing. Takes that as which is broken and puts it back together, okay? Do you see these four elements I'm mentioning in your life here? Do you? How about peace? You have peace? I have a peace. I have a peace that no matter what I do today, no matter where I turn out, what I do, that nobody in this room or outside this room can erase my name from the Lamb's Book of Life. God's Word tells me that. Can't. I have a peace. I have a peace to know that what is to come is better than anything I have today. Better than anything I have to come. I love that. Okay? He promises me that, and he will give me that. Okay. Isaiah 41 tells you, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but God's word never changes. And that's a piece to go. This world can change all at once. It can try to convince those that are not so strong, but you know what? Those that are strong in Christ, and Christ is at the center point of your life, his word doesn't change. So pick your next target because today I'm not it. He's not going to do that to us, okay? The church, it all starts with God's. Paul's heart is threefold. For God, for people, for the church. Christ is head of the body, head of the church. He desires supremacy. He demands to be number one. This coming year, I want to challenge you to think about your church here. From church plans and programs to the ministries to the madness of our schedule. It's celebrations, the jubilations, it's worship, other activities. You know, we're a busy church. We do a lot of things, and we want to do more in 2019. If God opens those doors, we want to run through them, and we want to share his gospel as much as we can. So, okay, it's going to be harder than you think because as humans in a fallen world, we're typically drawn to the negative before the positive. The Bible is the number one selling manuscript. You know what number two is? The National Enquirer. The National Enquirer. People pay good money to read that garbage, okay? Anybody heard the adage, misery loves company? I've said it 20 years in the ministry. That has been here. That's been the hardest part. You get one disgruntled person and somehow they go home and I have come back and I have five. And when I talk to the other four, I'm like, so what got you as mad as the first one? Nothing really. They told me what the problem was, so I just jumped in the boat. What? So it is. It's not as easy as you think here, okay? Because I'm telling you what, honestly, when I tell you to think about your church, some of you thought about somebody annoys you. Then some of you went to our music. Music seems to be a hot button, too low, too loud. I've heard some of you're not playing my type of music. I don't really know how to address that. Okay, it's God's church. Then I've heard some say, well, the pastor isn't very sociable. He never even comes to tell me that he misses me. He never even comes to shake my hand. Well, there's one pastor and there's 300 of you. So come up the aisle sometimes and shake his hand. Come up the aisle and hug your pastor. Come out and tell the pastor you missed him, okay? To the deacons, we hear deacons aren't doing enough. We've heard that. We try to do what we can here. But I tell you, right there, negative things to distract you from Christ can easily be found. So easy that they can get you. And they will zap what we talked about, your element, your peace. They will take your peace. They will take your joy. So I want to challenge you to think of the positive work we do here in your church. Okay, and I want you to consider three things. Do you see it as the Lord's church? God is calling people to serve Him through His church. Christ is to be supreme. He tells us in Colossians 1:18, preeminent, okay? Christ is supreme in all things. Do you see Him supreme in your church? Do you see Him supreme in our worship? Is He supreme in our ministries? Do we have a Christ attitude? How about godly service? And I ask you these things here because at one time when I came here, I said, you know what? I would leave and go, huh, they did not, Miss Judy, they did not play my song today. And I let them know what my song is. They were well aware of it. You know, I made subtle hints, like I wrote it on paper and handed it to him. So, you know, but he didn't play my song. And I'm like, okay, well, he didn't play my second best song. I'm like, he didn't even play the third one. And then the ministries, I was always easy to critique and say, they could do that different. They could do that better. Oh, why they do it that day? Why they do it like that? Why? What? I had the answers. Again, I remind you, that's when I was a younger guy. I don't claim to know nothing now, so y'all are safe. Okay? I claim blank canvas up here. Oh, I do it. And I ask you that when you go there, what kind of Christ attitude did I have when I thought that way? Kind of an oxymoron. Because really, I didn't have Christ in my attitude. It was purely my attitude. It was what Carl wanted. It was what Carl envisioned. It was what Carl wanted to see. So, as crazy as it is, it wasn't a Christ attitude. And I said, that's not easy. Because in 0 seconds, I can throw my attitude on anything. I can throw my attitude in anything. I can throw my attitude to tell you exactly how the worship's supposed to be, how the ministries are supposed to go, how the music is supposed to be, how it's supposed to be catered. And you see in those moments, I have literally, in just a few seconds, I removed Christ from it. I can remove Christ quicker than the schools remove Him. And that's why I'm standing in His church. So I remind you, that's how quick it happens, and that's how sad it happens that we can do that, okay? How about godly service? I remember one time as a young man here, second year in the ministry, actually first year in the ministry, I did some work with some church guys, and I told this other guy, I said, man, that guy's lazy. I have work circles around him. And thank God. Yeah, I tell you that. Thank God. And this gentleman, you know, I will tell you. I'll just tell you who it was. I made this remark to Deacon Brother Dennis Gordon, one of my best friends today. And Dennis, I'll tell you, is one of the most godly men you'll ever have the pleasure to meet. And Dennis's response, I figured he'd pat me on the back and say, yeah, buddy, he is lazy. And he says, so who do you think you are? I said, well, that's not the emotion I was expecting from my friend. But, you know, he was, went on to precede me, went on to straighten me out, per se, and go, that's, how do you know that person isn't giving their best? And I wanted to judge their outside effort from my inside. And I learned a young lesson, and I learned a lifelong lesson as a young, dumb kid to, that's not how it is. People give their best, and I praise them. It's not to know if I know they're giving their best. They know they're giving their best. Big lesson here, godly service. And I thought, you know what? I need to stick into Gary. I need to stick to me giving, making sure I give 100% to God in my service and let others do what they need to do. You know, I tell these things, they happen. This past year has been one of financial challenges, disasters, job layoffs, crisis in families' lives, and I'm not excluded, folks. Who knows what next year holds? We don't. One thing is important for the church: to trust in Christ and serving. Trust in Christ and serving. Are you weary? Are you worn out from after Christmas? Are you worried about the new year to come? How about overworked? Miserable with an attitude of despair? These are things that wipe out our vision. These are things that can wipe out our relationship with Christ. These are things that beat us down. Is your vision of positive change for 2019 very narrow? God can bring a positive change in your life. And I talk to all ages when I give this message because, you know what? Nobody's exempt at any age from having issues. Nobody's exempt from having problems. Nobody's exempt from stress, anxiety, depression. Those are real things we deal with daily. Okay? Divorces. Children driving you crazy. We go through these things. Okay? We go through them. But I'll let you know you have a new year ahead. Let Christ give you a fresh start. Starts with God. Ask Him to guide you. Your church starts with God. Serving and trusting. Serving and trusting. Get involved where He calls you. Okay? God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. And that is true. He equips the called. All He asks us for is our heart and our obedience. Everybody that sits in this room today has a heart. Everybody here today can follow it up with obedience. We can do that. Okay? That's the one thing we can do. You don't have to be a Central North County Farmington school teacher to teach Sunday school, okay, to get involved. You don't have to be a master mechanic to get on the vehicle committee, okay? You can help serve in so many committees on there. You may not do it now to do it now, but that's part of God will equip you. There are people to teach you, people to lead you, people to help you. So I tell you, when God calls you to get involved, get involved. Get involved, okay? There's no fun sitting on the bench. There's no fun sitting on the bench, and you know that. If you're there right now, you know it. It's something, there's no fun, okay? He equips us, okay? Romans 10:9 tells us, if you confess with the mouth that Jesus, okay, Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. 10:13 even goes on to say, forever who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, Isaiah 48 tells us the grass withers. Okay? Flowers fade, but God's word stands forever. So I ask you, do you need a fresh start this year? Jake, if you want to come on up, buddy, we'll go ahead and get going. I guess he's back here. Somebody want to page Jake Ben for me on there? Look at him right there, buddy. Gave him all that praise. He was standing by. So I tell you, Do you need a fresh start? Do you need a fresh start? And I ask you this because I met with people that go, I've been at this church for 30 years. Man, I'm lost. Imagine that, being at Esther Baptist Church or another church, and you're here 30 years and all you can think of is, I'm lost. I don't feel Christ speaking to me. I don't feel like I'm getting involved in anything. So the God that sent His Son to save you, the God that loves you, the God that needs you, the God that tells us that you are a vital part of His church, He wouldn't put you on the sidelines. He wouldn't put you on the bench. And He wouldn't put you away that He couldn't use you. So my question is, maybe we do need a fresh start. Maybe you need a recharge. Because, you know, Brother Leonard, I've read through all 66 books. There's no retirement age. There's not a retirement age. It doesn't say cash your chips in and No. Retirement age is when the trumpet sounds. That's for all of us. So everybody, no matter what your age is, can have an active role in your church. And here's the truth. Your church needs you. Your church needs you. We need you. You have at least one gift. You have a gift. You have a talent. Are you using it? And that's the only question you can answer yourself. Are you using it? Because I'm telling you what, if not, you should be. You should be. Your church can use you. Okay? Folks, I want to tell you, only you know. But you have that opportunity. As Jake's going to play here, it's, I don't know, here's your altar to your church. You can pray where you sit. But I find it encouraging when people come forward because they tend to help those that have a harder time getting out to come forward. But I don't know what you're going through. Christ does know. All I know is nobody is exempt. Everybody has a struggle. And that's the truth. Everybody has a struggle. Somebody has something they're dealing with. So if you can't pray for yourself and you feel you don't need something, pray for a brother or sister in Christ. Okay? Pray for one of them. Because I promise you they could use it. Okay? They could absolutely use it 100%.